Okay, we will call this meeting to order on February 22nd. Please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, this is the second court commission meeting of February. And I think we have a couple of changes to the agenda. Is there any changes to the agenda?
Yes, Coast Guard lease has been removed.
We're going to remove the Coast Guard lease. And then anything as far as executive session, we are going to have an executive session.
Right, and we actually have two issues of potential litigation and one personnel issue.
Okay, great. How long do you think that's going to be?
It may take us a while. I think we should plan on at least a half hour. Yeah.
Okay, 30 minutes. Decisions? No? Okay, all right. Hi, Carolyn. Thanks, Dave, Carolyn. Okay, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move.
Second, I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda. Everybody had a chance to approve?
Yeah, I have an addition I'd like to make to the minutes, for the meeting minutes.
Yep.
And that was on section 5 of D. So Mr. Tucker noted discrepancies in the schedule presented at the February 1st workshop. Well, it was also, that same schedule was presented at the January 25th commission meeting, so that schedule was presented twice. I think it's important that it notes that it was presented on two occasions.
Got it. Okay. All good with those changes. Any other additions to the warrants or anything? Okay.
I would like to note, I'm not sure if it's exactly minutes, but I know it's a recording. Commissioner Clunter, you asked at the last meeting on the warrants, if there's a bill for $11,000 and whether it applied to the disposal of the vessel that Eric J. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I replied yes, that it did, and I was mistaken. That bill was actually for the Hogan to help us with the hoist accident. So
okay.
I just wanted to make sure that you knew that I was mistaken.
So that was the charge for this crane service and so on.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. And how much was the Eric J?
Terry, Kyle, our yard supervisor, was able to actually get that disposed of to no cost to the board. So. Sure.
No cost for the Eric J for scrap value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Good job, Terry.
Good job, Terry.
Yeah, that is good.
Okay. All right. Motion to do the consent agenda?
I move we approve the consent agenda with the changes.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda.
As usual.
Okay.
Just as a note, it looks as though the Spears have a temporary place to live, and they've found someone that it looks very good for moving the double line.
Okay.
And they probably know all about it. And so the tension levels have been reduced enormously, and they have a place for double line.
Excellent.
But I naturally have something else. I'll just read a letter, and then I'm going to go home.
Lucky you.
I know. As you know, the Spears will be leaving the marina property on March 28th and will no longer be on the port payroll. I don't know if any of you have been down to Quill Saint for shrimping season, but it is a total madhouse. Hundreds of shrimpers, boats, campers, and visitors from all over the place. Requests for moorage this May have already come in. It is a very happy, fun time, but very chaotic. On behalf of our committee on the marina's future, I would respectfully request that you engage Jim Spear, perhaps on a flexible hourly basis, for this coming summer seafood season. He has all the names and habits of those who have historically used the moorage, ramp, fuel, bathrooms, and campground. We would be extremely sorry to lose these economically essential activities for our community. They bring enormous value to our local businesses, never mind all our coinciding family gatherings. Jim could also have an assistant or two to learn how to take over next year. No matter what, some reasonable solution to the absence of a harbor master or manager must be found and executed before May. Why not engage the person who actually knows how to do it and is willing to do it? And thank you for handling the Spears departure with kindness and sensitivity. Now all we need is a new culprit and a manager.
Could you, just before you go, state your name for the...
Oh, Ann Ricker.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jim is willing to do that. He'll be around. So it was the only solution I could think of.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, and I believe we have the Girl Scouts here, and they want to do a presentation, so...
Do you want them to stand where they are, or stand in front of them?
Come on up. Yeah, just kind of stand in the middle here. That'd be good. And girls, you're kind of speaking into that black, funky thing right there, so just give a name and what you're doing, and we'll go from there.
So we're a troop for 411-74 and 5001 also. I'm Katrina.
I'm Viola.
I'm Maria.
I'm Haley.
I'm Ava.
I'm Eugenia.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for setting aside some time to listen to our proposal.
A problem that seems to occur way too often at beaches and places around this area is young children playing and swimming around in the water and on boats without life jackets. Possibly, their parents can't afford one, don't know exactly where to find one, or simply forgot to bring one along. Whatever the reason, this is the unspoken issue that needs to be discussed.
We have a solution that will ensure that every child is safe in and around the water. We would like to build and install, with the help of the people of the port and our parents, a life jacket loaner station at one of our local beaches.
So we are planning on making one site this year, and we were planning on partnering with the local marina and the Boats US Foundation. And they have a life jacket loaner program, and we would like to utilize that. We were thinking it'd be unstaffed and would have, like, a person to, like, open it up and shut it down. And the budget we were thinking is going to be about $500, and that could be with, like, people could donate and stuff, and the extra money could be used for buying more life jackets. We have a supplies list, and we were planning on making a pallet shed, and we'll need things like screws, hooks, plywood, hinges, doors, and stuff like that. Yeah.
Life jackets are very important when you're swimming, boating, and other water activities. Swimming is very fun in the summertime, but can also be very dangerous if you don't have a life jacket. The way that we are going to maintain the shack is by taking turns on checking in on the life jackets to make sure that they are all there and usable. We are going to have it located outside for the use of the people. Our plan is to make it so that all people can be in the water safely.
To spread the word about our project so it does not go unused, we would like to pass out flyers at our cookie sales or other Girl Scout functions. And when it's complete, we would like to invite the public newspaper to do an article about the Life Jacket Loaner program. And as for monitoring the success of our station, we would have a list of checkouts. So when someone takes the life jacket out, they would leave their email or phone number. So if accidentally taken home, they could be notified, and also we would like to have a comments box for the public to leave feedback.
In conclusion, we would like to again thank the Port Commissioners for giving us this opportunity to ask permission to put a life jacket loaner station at Langalonger Beach or potentially Port of Port Townsend and Point Whitney in Britain. Hopefully, the life jacket loaner station will be built by summer 2017. And this is also, the Building Life Jacket Loaner Station is part of our Silver Award, which is the Girl Scout Public Service Award. And providing life jackets is a great way to improve safety in and around the water. We are happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Nice presentation.
Yeah, great.
So where is Scout located? Are you in Quilcene?
We live all around the county, but we generally meet at the Girl Scout House in Fort Townsend, or sometimes we used to meet at the Grange in Chimicum.
So I think technically we are at Chimicum.
True. Chimicum in Fort Townsend.
Where do you imagine, do you imagine building all three at once or one at a time?
No, we plan on having one this year.
Okay.
And potentially more over the next
year. And would that be later or longer would be the first one?
Yeah. Hopefully, yes.
Yeah.
And so your ask specifically is just for permission for it to do it on a port property, or are you asking for a donation from the board?
We want to do it on the port property.
So that's your ask. Okay. We have the boat haven here, the Port Whitney, that's not our property, so we can do some there. I think what's the lab down there?
Well, that's, it used to be Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure who's there now?
Somebody needs to come call.
Because we have the one, of course, the biggest swimming beach is the one in Quilcene. That's the warm water beach. But then we also have the beach at Fort Warden that gets people swim at quite a bit, too. I'm not really sure if anybody is swimming. Of course, here, a life jacket or loaner program would be good for people who want to go on boats.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you familiar with the life jacket station at the Port of Friday Harbor at the top of the Green Zone ramp there? Have you seen that?
I don't know. I don't believe we have.
Yeah. So there is, same thing. It's very, very successful. It is not monitored. It's just a truss system where if people have an extra life jacket, you know, boaters will actually put life jackets there and hold it as well. So it's been a kind of a very successful program. It's just an idea that you might consider, like if we were to put a booth even here at the park somewhere that voters could contribute to or voters could choose from, an idea as well.
I think it's a wonderful thing for a Girl Scout troop to do. I know that I've been affiliated with a few of them, and they're actually, even though a lot of the times, like Pete says, life jackets can be donated by voters. For example, I don't have any need for little small kid life jackets anymore. There's an ongoing need to maintain them because you have to get rid of them after they degraded to where they're no longer usable. And so there is some, you know, monitoring and requirements for that. So it'd be a wonderful thing. And if you girls that step up late for that, I think it'd be a wonderful idea.
So do you have a design chosen already and how this structure is going to look?
Yeah, we do. Yes, we have.
Pallet shed? Is that what you called it?
It would actually be constructed out of pallets.
Uh-huh.
And, we have the design right here. And in regards to what you said, Mr. Tucker, we all swim at the beaches where it would be located. It's our favorite place to swim. That's one of the reasons we want to put it there is because we see the problem ourselves. And so I'm sure we would all be there every weekend during the summer swimming and going out on boats ourselves. So that's when we could check in. And also we would be gathering life jackets from our friends and family, because we do have people, like you said, who don't need life jackets for toddlers anymore.
Yeah. Well, I know at least one of your dad is pretty handy tool, so he's probably willing to help you too. So, the same.
I see you have some choices there. I'd suggest the one that keeps them in the shade because they do great quick in the sunshine around here.
So on the ask, if we approve this, are we approving three separate sites or two sites, or?
I think for now we'd be approving the one at Lingerlung.
Okay, and then you guys would come back to ask us for another one. Yeah, that goes.
One thing they were asking earlier is they were talking about keeping it locked and having somebody unlock it in the morning and lock it up in the evening, so it had a full-time staff at Quilcene. Otherwise, you were thinking that maybe another site might work better.
Or we could come up with maybe a couple of different ways to have, a couple of locks on it, so you can have a key and you could have a key, but we can work some of that out. At least we just, if the commission approves this, we can work with, this is Greg England, and we would work with you to find the best spot down in Lingalonger.
Yep.
I personally think it's a fabulous idea, so I would recommend to the commission that you approve it.
I make a motion that we approve the new life jacket station at Lingalonger.
I second that.
And we all vote for it.
Yeah.
Unanimously.
Yep.
Do I hear? Yep. We're all
great.
Okay. Yep. Thank you, girls. That was a great presentation. Come back again. Tell us how it's going. Okay.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your service.
Good luck. Any other public comments before we move on? Okay. We are not doing the second reading on the Coast Guard lease. We're going to table that for now. There's no first reading. And so we're moving on to regular business, State of Washington Pollution Liability Insurance Agency Grant Program Underground Storage Tank.
Yes, and I'm going to just tee this up for Mr. England. And as I think you know that we have an aging underground storage tank out at the airport, and so Greg took it upon himself to follow up on and find this funding source, so I'll let him describe the potential, and I'll talk a little bit about what the application might be.
Yeah, so basically, you know, the underground storage tank, it's pretty aged. I think like 15 years ago, we cut the top off of it and they epoxied it. It does have sensors that are supposed to indicate if there's a leak in it, but we basically could run on risk. So we were looking for funding, and we think that we're eligible for this loan through the PLIA through the state, and it's $150,000 up to $150,000 or grant program, I should say. And I would talk to Larry Ozzie, the facility maintenance manager, and he estimated kind of be in the $50,000 to $75,000 range to put in a new tank, above ground tank, and about $50,000 to $75,000 to take out the existing tank and remediate the site. So, and then we're going to relocate it someplace that's a lot more appropriate than, you know, there's a little playground equipment in near the restaurant. So we were going to relocate it. I can't tell you exactly, except for anecdotally, how to get there. But so we're going to apply for this. It's due by March 1st, and we're submitting for the full $150,000. And but that would help mitigate the cost, and then we'll just execute it, get the grant.
So when you say relocate, you're talking about relocating the fueling station for the airplanes, or just the
weather? No, just moving the tank a little further away from the deep, and so it's a little bit safer. So towards the hangars, and then just run the piping underground, but someplace where it's just not, it's really not in a good spot, actually, where they have it currently.
So where is it right now? Underneath where the planes fuel?
Yeah, it's right almost... well, Larry just pointed to the ground, so I'm going off what where he pointed, but basically it's right by, it's almost right underneath, right where that playground, you know where
mm-hmm.
So it's basically just right underneath there. So he said basically, we were talking about it, he said, yeah, it's definitely a risk, but he goes, the sensors, we hope they work, those things, if they fail, just the reality is, by the time those things go off, it's too late. We've already had
yeah.
it, right? And so, you're near groundwater, it's just...
Can we put it, how about over by the, just on the north side of Scott's hangar, on that grassy area?
Mm-hmm.
And you could put, fast growing deodar cedars around it, and it would disappear in a heartbeat. What's that?
I was going to say, you could put a couple of tanks there. In other words, if you put them up against the outside wall of that hangar, I know that there was a desire for, what other kind of fuel was it they were looking for?
Oh, mogas.
Mogas, for another fuel, which of course would require another tank.
Yeah, we actually talked about how we would configure it because there's other, there's a number of different uses. We could just consolidate everything. Because there's also there's a small diesel tank out there used for equipment ongoing. And you can kind of get these things. They're pretty standard, to be honest with you, for these above ground tanks. Mm-hmm. And then we just have to decide what grades we want to have. And then, we don't want to trigger anything additional, but it's pretty restrictive already as far as the site goes. And we can come up with a design.
So you can remote locate a tank and then underground pipe to the
That's pretty common because you just want to keep.
Can we get new pumps with this grant too?
I think it replaces the system.
Yeah. We do have to check on. We're not 100% certain that we meet eligibility criteria, and we need to get a hold of grant personnel on that. Should you give us permission to proceed with the grant application, then I would like to, one, answer that first question, and if it looks like we're going to be in the running, bring back an amended capital budget for you and place this item on it so that we have a good running total of what our capital budget is.
How about FAA? Have you talked to them about this?
Nope, we have not talked to Mary. But they've done this in other locations, and it has not been an issue. And especially they realize that they're not interested in pushing a risk to the groundwater either. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty standard now. I mean, almost everybody goes to, if they can, they retool and go to above ground tanks.
Can I ask a question? Is there a match? It's a grant?
It's just a grant. It goes up to $150,000.
Is it 100% grant and no match?
We don't know. It's both a grant and a loan program, and they you have to apply, and then they work with you once you're in the program. So you get in the program, then you develop the scope and the budget, and then what the percentage of match, loan, match, everything. So it's hard to, it's unusual in that way for grant applications where you don't just have a set match amount.
So this is the state of Washington Pollution Liability Insurance Agency, but also FAA, are they interested in participating? Because, you know, you have to have gas at the airport.
I haven't asked them specifically.
Right. Yeah. What my short experience with the FAA is they are very regimented in their program. And so they look out a number of years and look at, you know, what you're going to be doing, and they also look in the order of things that they'll participate in, like runway surfaces first, and then other amenities. All that being said, if you'll recall, last year we were able to allocate some of our leftover capacity in FAA to Port Angeles, so that happens as well. So it is possible that we could talk to them, and if it is eligible funding, they might say, oh, you know, Forks has some money left over or something like that. So we will follow up with them. But to get into their program is, it's usually many years out, but they have a suite.
It was identified in the Reed Middleton study, too, I think, when I was going through some of the different, or some of our capital program and some of the, I know some literature that they got. But the study that Reed Middleton conducted on the airport out there is listed as one of the improvements. So
what about WSDOT too, and along with FAA?
Well, this has a March 1st deadline for submittal, so we were trying to definitely see if we get the 150.
Sure.
And
but I mean, just as far as looking at other possibilities, because they've got the 5% grant matching thing they've done in the past for the airport as well.
Yep.
I think it's really great. I mean, it's, as far as I'm concerned, one part of time, this has got to be like one of the last underground storage tanks, single wall, that's been left in the ground for all this time. And I've been worried about it for a long time. So I'm really glad you're moving forward with this.
Yeah. I mean, we just looked at the opportunity and we said we better just like on it.
Yeah.
So it's better to move forward on a grant app. If we get the money, you know, like I said, Larry said that should be pretty good.
Cool.
March 1st is rapidly approaching.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we'd actually like direction.
Okay, I move that we proceed forward with that grant application for that.
Yeah, they second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Awesome.
Way to get the ask in there, Sam. Tier 2 big boating infrastructure grant application.
This is another one. If you will recall, we have big, which is called a boating infrastructure grant. It is federal dollars that come to the State Recreation Conservation Office, so RCO. We already have a grant for the Port Hudson Jetty. The project was written originally to cover both the north and the south wall. We just, Abigail and I just completed a report to RCO, and Eric has been in touch with them all along for many months now, signaling to them that we would like to move the current funding that we have, which is $1.1 million, to apply to just the South Wall jetty. And they have indicated that they would be amenable to that. We would then like to apply for the next round of Big Tour Tier 2 to apply for the North Wall. It's a complicated formula that they do because it's based upon transient, number of transient boat nights, and you know, so it's a little bit difficult to say this is the exact amount that we apply for. We think that it's in the neighborhood of around $600,000. If we apply for that, then we would also be eligible to apply for state dollars for the boating facilities program. So this one, we're just asking permission to proceed with moving forward with the application for the big tier two would be for the North Jetty, around $600,000.
Now, this isn't premature, given that we pushed it out a little bit. Is it 2020 is the North Jetty, right?
They're starting the program already. Yeah.
I make a motion that we let them proceed with this.
Second it.
All those in favor?
I third it.
Aye.
Aye.
Dave.
Okay.
Shaking the trees.
Staff comments.
I left commission members a copy of the letter that I just sent off to Ecology today, and that is with regard to the stormwater system. We are asking for them to suspend review of the previously submitted engineering report. It wasn't in your packet. It's just over in your, I left it your information.
It's in the box?
It's in the box, yeah. What we followed up on the workshop topic that we had, really looking at a different approach here and asking them to suspend review of the last submitted engineering report to then work with us to look at how we're going to upgrade our existing system and amend the administrative order. We believe that there are good deal of work we can accomplish before the existing deadline, September 30th, but that we also, this is an iterative process, and we'd like to lay out a timeline that extends beyond that. So we just sent this off today. I've not talked with them. Our next step would be to have a meeting with them. In the meantime, I've also am reaching out to a couple other consultants to help us provide some technical engineering parts of it. As you, Mark Horton and I have kind of laid out the general approach. We need some stormwater modeling and things to go along with it, and somebody to actually put their stamp on the report. So we're looking at consultants that can come in and assist us with that.
And that's not parametrics, or?
I'm not talking to parametrics at this time. I'm looking at somebody that has a little bit more familiarity with what we already actually have in the ground. We had staff lunch last week, and reiterating thanking everyone for their professionalism in responding to the hoist accident, and reminding them that we'll be using this as an opportunity to learn and grow as an organization. We continue to do some follow-up on that. I am proceeding with the integrated planning grant proviso request. I should have a copy of that here in the next day or so. And then I've asked Commissioner Tucker to assist me with calling the Representative Chapman when it's ready to go, and just let him know that it's coming, following up on the meeting that we had with them, and then we'll send the documentation down. We are proceeding with installation of water meters. Just met with engineer and Greg this week. Don't have a schedule for that yet, but we will be installing the meterings at the head of each dock, as well as for the administrative building and the washdown pad, et cetera. And that is on our capital plan. So we'll keep you apprised of schedule when we we're getting ready to put together some bid packages. We are going to use outside services for that.
So we're not going to install them ourselves then?
No, we're not going to have to crew and install themselves. I'm sure that Larry will be available for assist, since He is the keeper of all things buried. Yeah. the port. We did meet with our marketing consultant, Kevin Eliff, this week, and he is developing a schedule for us. We have him working on a marketing plan for the marinas, the RVs, and some of the yard activities. So we will have that kind of outline fairly soon, and looking at having a lot of things in place by the beginning of the summer. He's also been assisting us all the way along with our ad buys, both in digital and in print. So he did that last year, right when I first came on. At that point, we kind of kept things status quo, and just he looked at what buys were better than what. This year, we're actually having take a more broad look at really what's most effective. We're going to do some interesting things, like some Google Analytics that he's good at, and test the markets out to see where people might be Googling for things like, you know, boat repair in Fort Townsend. And so he can kind of draw geographic circles and go, oh, we have a bunch of people in Ketchikan that are looking at it. Or so it'll be interesting to, you know, get some analytics on where people are looking for our services.
Now, this is different than the consultant for the communications?
Correct, yeah. So we do have interviews tomorrow and Friday for the communications coordinator position. We have 5 applicants that interviewed. So really was quite pleased with the experience and level of expertise that we got in our applicant. So hoping that we find a good match. So in K-Putz last week, I don't know if you heard the show. Anybody hear the show?
Oh, no. Yeah.
K-P-T-Z?
K-P-T-Z.
Yeah. I've heard that they don't like to call them that, but, you know. So that was pretty fun. And we also met with Coast Seafood last week, and I'll be bringing some ideas back to the commission for consideration, including another grant application for quilting for the curb. And so I'll be asking for permission for that next week, and already started looking at that. We can get in this last round this biennium. So that would be another $50,000 to help for quilting.
Great.
I will bring you more details and ask you formally for permission once I fleshed out a little bit more. And that's all I have.
What's the latest on the travel lift?
Island.
Nice lead in.
Perfect. Thank you, Commissioner.
Sorry.
No. So anyway, we're...
I feel like we're dragging you through the yard, right?
Well, we're finishing up on the claim. I think the Bernese work is they've defined all the work and they're getting it done. They just kind of guesstimate, so I don't really want to just wait until we get the work done, but that's not going to be the real hit. So, and it looks like on the travel lift that we're just going to have to see what the comparison is between getting something new or looking at something used and negotiate that out, but the existing travel lift is going to have a pretty hefty price tag to get it repaired and have it certified as approved. So we're approaching we're approaching a fairly high value on that. So, but until we cross the T's and dot the I's, I don't want to, because we're still discussing and negotiating.
I think one thing I'd like to bring up, we are at a critical juncture here, so I just want to make sure that this meeting that we're talking about doing a special meeting as soon as you know what you're doing, so we can get moving on that, correct? Is that what we're thinking?
That is, if it's necessary and we are ready to bring forward, we're ready to go, absolutely. We stand prepared to do that.
Okay. Are you guys cool with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. And we're trying to move forward as fast as possible on that, obviously.
I think it's fair to say for the record that, you know, we're getting pressure. So we're hearing it loud and clear that we need that travel.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
and I'm sure you're hearing that too, but it makes it hard for the commissioners when people are walking up to us in the yard.
Yeah, you can't run fast enough to
Not even close.
That's why I drive different cars.
You'll get that. And rightly so. So we're concerned about it. The John Cobb, we're looking at continuing to process that, see if we can put a deal together. We do have another interested buyer. And there's a number of steps that have to go. We have to go through, but proceeding with that and putting together a deal for them with all the paperwork so that it's all in one, and then it'll kind of be a go, no go, I think. But it does look pretty good. They're definitely interested, and that would probably keep the vessel here. But we also have the gentleman, we have another buyer in Oregon that is still very, very interested. So we're processing, we're just following the two paths to see which one comes to fruition, basically. And that doesn't mean that there's not other potential buyers out there. So we'll proceed with that too. Proceeding with working forward. Oh,
thanks for all your work on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
appreciate you being on that.
I think it's, and I think, I think there's, I just want to get ahead of myself, but when we close the deal, that's when we close it.
Yeah.
There was a purchase sale agreement for a hangar, so we're trying to make sure we don't hold that up at all, but there's some due diligence that we have to go through. That looks pretty good. We had an inquiry for about a 120-footer that uses 300-ton lift to, they were looking for just yard storage for half the year, basically. So we're looking at what that would take to make sense, financial sense for the port. But it looks like from a capacity standpoint currently that it would make sense for us to do something like that, at least one of the
So I have a question in that regard. Mm-hmm. We've discussed it before, but we've got public parking cars on ground that's rated for to store vessels that size.
And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Thank you.
That is
it. And there's a lot of motivation on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From the commission.
Okay.
Yeah, we're wasting our.
I think it'll be a win all the way around. So
real estate with God.
Yeah, it's more comes down to we just want to be sure that we're, valuing everything correctly.
So, sure.
But Terry's the yard manager, Terry Kyle, has been put together a lot of information as well. So that's going to come to we'll propose something to them. I was hoping this week, but we're going to shoot for this week to get them something. Just following up on, there's an independent fee estimate for the airport, and I just have to, I have that deliverable this week as well.
I'm sorry, what for the airport?
So you have for the paving and for some of the project out of the airport, there's two, you have to have two fees, two estimates. So we have the one for Reed Middleton, but you have to do a comparison, and then you have to process the paperwork and submit it for the FAA. So I'm just closing that that out. That'll be done by, I promise, this week.
Do you know on the airport paving? So a lot of the guys are talking about, can we land on the taxiway?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know how that process will go for determining if we can land on the taxiway?
We talked with Reed Middleton about that. they do need to do a little bit of analysis on it, but they said certainly there's plenty of examples of it happening, and they thought that it was likely they do have to go through the process with the FAA. So it is in their scope of work to do that. And it is also in their scope of things to talk about when we have our open house out there.
Is that scheduled yet?
Not scheduled yet. We need to get this independent fee thing, and then we'll get Reed Middleton on the next scope of work.
And working with the Spears to cross the finish line on that and make it work for those guys. That looks looks really good.
And again, really cool that what you've done, because I think we've dodged a lot of bullets with that.
I think
thank
it's
you
been,
for your diligence.
Yeah, and
daily.
And I think it's the best thing for the port, and it's going to be a good thing, I think, for the Spears. I really do. We just had a couple of vessels from Canada in here, the two SALTS vessels. And they were only in here for a few days, but they're expecting to come back. And we were trying to put together a programmatic approach where it's just either year over year, but we just kind of book that business going out. And we're trying to take that approach with all the business that we have coming in here. It's just book them into the future. And that looks really good. They're going to actually probably do a pretty substantial refit on at least one of the vessels, and the other one can actually quite a bit of work next time. So, you know, they're expecting a good month, if not longer, when they come back. And that's slated for next year. And again, we're continuing, you know, just like Sam said, with the utilities recovery. You know, we're looking at all the utilities, so trying to concurrently forward with garbage, sewer, water, electric. Still working on the rate analysis for the boatyard. Steve and Commissioner Tucker, we've met with Washington Sea Grant. They're going to come up, and we are going to sit down, and we're going to kind of have a comprehensive program about what money and what matching we can do. And then also there's some reimbursables in terms of operating expense, which is really great. So they confirmed all that. So they're going to be coming up, I think it's next week. And we're going to try to just have a thorough analysis of what we're going to do going forward, and then lay out the plan, the RCO. So thank you for that.
Just so these guys know, that's about the pump outs, right?
Mm-hmm.
The maintenance, yeah.
Yeah.
they will actually pay for maintenance and operation of the pump outs. And
cool.
So.
Nice. And operation, what does that mean?
Well, actually, did you ever find that marina in Seattle? There's a guy that I sat next to at one of my conferences, and I took his notes in my iPad, but didn't need them. And he said they actually hired a guy to pump out boats for customers. And he said that it was no big deal for them because Sea Grant pays for operation of pump outs. And so when you come into this, whatever marina it was, people would say, you wanted to pump out your nasty old holding tank, and they were tickled, and they got money, and they paid for an employee. So, and then of course when they have any problems, what I saw was a note that Larry Ozzie had indicated it cost us $400 every time the dumper for the porta potties broke, and of course that shouldn't cost us anything because Sea Grant pays for it, or they're supposed to. Greg's on top of that now.
Yep. That's it for now.
Anything over there? See you at Debbie?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on to public comments.
Any public comments?
Bob? Anything?
Quick one. Your presentation was so good on the workshop. The question came up, it's not available for anybody. You know, it's like the history, you know, everything in the ground, the timeline.
Uh-huh.
Is there a reason workshops aren't recorded, or in the future, or something like that, that's more presentation could be recorded? Because obviously there was only a handful of people in the room, and I thought it was excellent.
Right.
And everybody comes in and goes, you know, and they have no idea what you said.
Thanks. And one of the things I've followed up on, met with one of our tenants and went, you know, there's still a lot of chatter out in the yard, and so we're going to work on putting together a brown bag lunch, and then I'll do a similar presentation so I get the word out that way. As far as whether or not we record.
It is recorded.
Yeah, it is recorded.
It is on the website.
Yeah.
The workshop? The morning session?
Uh-huh.
Okay. From the last meeting where we did that long PowerPoint?
You can find it either on the main page.
Okay.
Or you can find it in the commission schedule of past meetings.
I'll look for it again. I looked and I just heard the meeting.
I can send it to you, the link.
Yeah, that'd be great. But just pushing that out to people, because
that was
answered, you know, years of
good
speculation on people's part.
Glad it was helpful.
For
and
me.
And again, I want to have a brown bag and follow it. Other than that, I'm going to just start wearing a sandwich board and start walking around the yard saying, you know, ask me about stormwater.
I'm the poop queen.
So all the workshops are recorded?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Sometimes you don't see them right away because it takes a while to get them on the website.
They're usually up the next day.
Good to know. Thank you.
Great.
Anything else? Okay, commissioner comments. I'll start.
Okay.
I recently was a customer at the Port of Port Townsend. Just got back in the water. And staff was really nice. Everybody did a great job. One comment And that is, and I'm sure you guys are working on this, but I'll just point it out. So when you go to pay your power bill, because you've been hauled out for a while, there's only one meter, but there's three plugs coming out of the box going to three different boats. So what Shannon does is she splits the charge between the three different boats. So one of the boats just did a lot of welding, and they rebuilt their whole boat with welding. And that's split. And I'm not saying that that's a big deal, but Greg is kind of sitting there going, oh, yeah.
No, I get it.
So I think for us as a commissioner, you know, we could save the staff a lot of grief, because boaters kind of get upset about that when, like, well, all I had going was a little heater, and this guy's got three welders going for a month. So we would be well advised to probably look into investing in more equipment where each plug was metered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Agreed.
What's that?
That's the plan.
That's the plan. I'm just pointing it out that.
It is.
I saw it kind of front and center, like I hadn't seen it. And it was fine for me. It wasn't a big deal. But I'm sure for some it gets pretty.
So you didn't mind paying for that guy's welding? It's super.
I was happy. You know? I went and patted the boat and I said, looking good there, buddy.
Close friends now.
Yeah, we're close friends. No. So that's just an observation. Yeah. No, but all good.
I got to ask you guys for a favor. Next meeting, I may need to be out of town.
Okay.
And I may not be able to call in.
Okay.
I don't know yet until that day to see what's going to be transpiring. So I guess just in case I can't, I just ask for your permission to be excused from that meeting in the event I can't call in.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's all I have.
Okay.
Since last meeting, when we went to the legislature, I got thinking about how we should be kind of in the community here going down with one voice and kind of cooperating amongst ourselves as far as the government agencies. And so I started talking with, personally, I started talking with District 1 guys. So I spoke with Kate and with Jeff Randall. He's a PUD. And so I'm going to start continuing these conversations, and it was interesting because it got a really good conversation going about things that we can do together and things that I hadn't even thought about from Kate's perspective, for example. I'm going to start continuing these, and a real easy way that I've discovered for one of them is carpooling. We have a meeting. I have a meeting I go to at John Wayne once a month, and there's an hour drive, and if I share it with other elected people mm-hmm. from the area, I get a chance to figure out how we're going together. And I'm kind of excited about possibilities. Unfortunately, in addition to that, I got like 7 city council people. There's a whole batch of them. I'm not sure how to start doing that, but I just wanted to.
We need a talk.
Yeah, that I'm starting to do that, and I'm kind of excited about the fact that we're getting to have some common direction on things. Then the energy lunch was the other thing I usually report on at this meeting, and the energy lunch this time was different. The speaker that they had scheduled wasn't able to show up at the last minute, and that's the first time this has happened in the 5 years I've been associated with the energy lunch. And so what they did in turn was had a community discussion about shared EVs, and this is a model that's showing up some places. For example, that new little, or just any community like Eco Village or one of the old folks' homes or something, can buy a couple of EVs and share them and on a rental basis, and they don't have to have cars. And they're trying to start that model here in Port Townsend. And the thing that would have to do with the port is that they potentially could start by buying some vehicles. You know, like Kingston has their gym that they run people to and from the boat. Vehicles to rent to the port for a low cost, and then like the thing out of the airport, when so many years are done, it reverts to the port. And they haven't really got their, this was kind of a scoping meeting they had, but it's just to let us know that they're out there doing that and trying to get serious about it and get some EVs throughout the town and also get a charger. And
yeah, it's an interesting thing because like Scott has a car that he keeps at the airport and has four pilots that fly in there.
Mm-hmm. And courtesy car.
Right.
And, you know, it'd be nice to, we could officially do that.
Exactly.
Possibly do that with an AV.
Right. But that's, the group is still looking for direction. And I think that exactly that, Scott at the airport, and there's some, like, Seaport Landing would be a place, of course, in the port. But I know that Kingston utilizes one for people to get them to and from, or, you know, so like one at Point Hudson, for example, or one here. Those might be models that could suggest to them to see if they could sharpen their pencil enough to make it be worthwhile. We support it, and it would pay for itself. Anyway, those are the only two things that I have.
All right. Well, we will have our next regular meeting. Oh, I have one comment. So just while we're still on record here. So if we have to do a vote on the travel list, we wouldn't want to wait till the end of March to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
You'll be notified right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't we
have to vote on the expenditure if it's more than?
Yes. You would. We could, and that's what we could bring it either in the next regular scheduled meeting, or we could schedule a special.
Right.
And we'd probably do two things simultaneously at that point: is amend the capital budget and just have, you know, this addition, and then approve the expenditure.
We're writing here. So, but just thinking of you, so if we ended up with just the two of us and we're talking about this, you're good with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if it's a gazillion dollars.
Even if it's a gazillion dollars. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they're going to come up with the best option possible, and we're going to have to move on it. So it's as simple as that.
Okay. I mean, another option Greg just brought up was we could do a, you could vote on a ceiling now and to say, you know, staff go ahead and move forward with a combination of
insurance
and then, you know, not to exceed amount of port dollars, let's say, $150,000, and you could vote on that now, and then we could then come back and kind of backfill that capital.
Can we do that even though it's not on the agenda?
This is a regular meeting, so you can add to the agenda.
Oh.
As a legal matter, it's a public policy matter.
Do I have to add to the agenda first? No, I can just vote on this.
I don't see that's necessary, personally.
Yeah.
They're going to come up with the best options that, the A-cart.
So, and I think clearly from us what we're thinking on this.
So. Yeah. Okay. So it's just,
I don't think anybody's dragging their feet.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll move on. We're good with that. Okay, so with that, we will end the meeting, and we'll be back again on March 8th at 9:30 for a workshop, and then at 1 p.m. regular.
So we're recessing.
And we're recessing into an executive session of 30 minutes.
And no actions.
And no actions.